Arbayis was the place where the Shechinah devolved in Klal Yisrael, Chazal tell us that it had different designations. Avram Avinu called it Har HaMikdash. And Yitzchak Avinu called it Shdei HaMikdash. But the Gemara says, Lo ka Avram shekoro Har, velo ki Yitzchak shekoro Sodeh, elo ki Yaakov shekoro Bayis. Ein ze ki im Beis Elokim. And that is the function of the Beis HaMikdash, to be a Bayis for Klal Yisrael. And that's where the Rabban Shalom is. In fact, where is the Shechinah in the Beis HaMikdash? Where does it actually devolve? Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. And the various Mepharshim explain that the Kruvim, one was male and one was female. They represent Ish V'Isha Shechinah Shruya Beinehem. That it's only in the home where the Shechinah resides. And not only that, Chazal also say that the face of the Kruvim was the face of children. So there you have a family. There is the place where the Shechinah is in Klal Yisrael, is in the Jewish home. And the home, Chazal tell us, is the woman. The woman creates the Jewish home. Lo korosi le'ishti ishti ele le'ishti besi. The bias, Beis Yaakov, that's the women. That is the Jewish home, the home of Klal Yisrael, is the concept of tznius, of what women accomplish, is the covering of the body, because there's something wrong with the body, something erotic, not nice, negative about the body, and you have to cover it up. It's not the idea at all. Because if that would be the idea, then if human bodies are something negative, surely animal bodies would be even more negative. And there'd be some kind of halacha that you couldn't go to the zoo unless they clothed the animals. And there's no such halacha. So why is it? What's special that of the idea of tznius? Before the chait of Adam and Chava, there was no need for tznius as we know. Because it was clear that the neshama was the ikar of a person. That's what a person is. A person is a neshama. We are not bodies. We are neshamas. We existed as neshamas from the time that we were created, way back, in the beginning of creation. And we all were neshamas who were able to function very nicely, see and hear and get around, without bodies. For thousands of years, tachas kisei hakavod, all of us. But the Ribbono Shel Olam willed that we should come into this physical world for a portion of time. I'm not going into now why that's necessary, but that was Ratzon Hashem. And we should be able to have free choice and be able to earn or create our Olam Haba. So when we come into a physical world, we need a suit of clothing to wear that's called a body. It's like an astronaut. When the astronaut is in the world was the, and therefore the Mishkan was covered with coverings, just like a collar. It had a veil in the front and a train in the back. Mamash like a collar. What does Nias have to do with the Mishkan? Same idea. The Mishkan, with all the gold and silver and beautiful wood, one could be distracted and think that the Mishkan was a holy house. I heard a story once, somebody from Rav Shlomo Shvadron Zatzal's family was at the Kosel on a Shabbos. And he sees an Israeli taking out a pen and paper and writing a kvittel on Shabbos and putting it in the Kosel. So he went over to him and he said, you know, maybe you think that's Pikuach Nefesh, somebody's sick. Why in the world are you writing a kvittel on Shabbos? He said, I'm the captain of the Israeli soccer team and we have a very important match this week. And I'm writing a wish to the wall that we win. That borders on Avodah Zarah. There's no difference between a mirror, mirror on the wall or wall, wall on the ground if you're wishing to the wall. If you look at the Mikdash, you look at the Kosel HaMaravi as a magical wall that gives requests, then it borders on Avodah Zarah. The Maila of the Mikdash is that the Shechinah is there. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. That's what the Mikdash is all about. It's not a magical building. So if you get distracted by the externals and you forget what the main thing, if your mother was Jewish, you're Jewish. If your mother wasn't Jewish, very, very dangerous They, until recently, mothers have been women. And therefore, basically, Kedushas Yisrael depends on women. So, a Jewish woman has to make a statement. The ikker is not what you can see here. Don't judge me on my externals. That's not me. I am an neshama kedosha. It's what you can't see that's the ikker. And therefore, we dress in a way that distracts attention from the externals and makes the statement there's more here than meets the eye. And that's the ikker. The ikker is not what you can see. The ikker is what you can't see. So that's the first aspect of a Jewish home, to emphasize this concept of tznius, to make an inner sanctum. It's not the externals. It's not the reshus harabim that's the ikker. It's what's hidden. It's what's private. That's the ikker. And it applies also not just to tznius in dress or in speech or in anything else. It also applies to the Torah. There is a chitzonius way of keeping the Torah, and there's a pnimius way of keeping the Torah. The Navi complains that Klal Yisrael keep the Torah tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, ze'er shom, a command here, a command there, a line here, a line there. What's the problem? That's the horror, the way we keep the Torah. We keep one command today, we blow shofar today, tomorrow we eat matzah, the next day we sit in the sukkah and wave esrog and lulav. Of the whole bowl. That's what mitzvahs are. There's one Ratzon Hashem. The Rabban Lishon has one plan for our entire life, for everything we do and say and think, one whole plan. But it's impossible for us to deal with it like that. So the Rabban Lishon broke it down into its components. And every mitzvah gives us another aspect of that Ratzon Hashem that applies to our entire life, to our standards, our values, our goals. Not just something to do. When you do the mitzvah, you open a window. If you don't do the mitzvah, or you don't do it properly, you open no windows. You get no glimpse of Ratzon Hashem. You have to do the mitzvah. But when you do the mitzvah, you open a window. And then you look in and you see, what does this mitzvah teach me about Ratzon Hashem? It's not just what God wants me to do now. What is He teaching me that tells me how to form my personality, my character, my values, my standards, my goals? And each mitzvah, therefore, has two parts to it. There's what the Torah says, Shmiya likol Hashem, Lishmoa likolo, listening to Him, exactly what He says to do and doing it properly. That's the first stage, but it's not the last stage. It's not the end. Then there's what the Torah calls many times, Lishmoa bikolo, to listen into what the Rabban Lishon said. I did the mitzvah. Shabbos is a mitzvah that applies 24 hours, one day a week. But Shabbos, that's the Shmiya Likol Hashem. I kept Shabbos. Now that I kept Shabbos, so the house was a mess, the table wasn't set, and she was my standards, my values world in some other world. And he said, at that point, I saw that the man was very embarrassed, but that wasn't what he really was embarrassed about, because he figured I would understand that that was not his fault. He wasn't sure. It's his wife's fault that the house is a mess and the table's not set, and you could tell it from the way she looks. You know what bothered him? Sitting on the table were the two challahs, uncovered, no challah cover on the challahs. And this man was afraid that I would think, said Rosh HaGafayvel, that he was an Amoritz. He didn't know you're supposed to cover the challahs. So in order to make it clear that that also was not his fault, he starts yelling at his wife. You are lazy, incompetent. Don't you know you're supposed to cover the challahs? Now, he knows that I know he knows he's supposed to cover the challahs. That's also his wife's fault. He said, at that moment, I thought to myself, this is the most absurd thing I ever saw in my life. Because why do we cover the challahs when we make Kiddush? One of the reasons is that the bracha on bread is more important than the bracha on wine. And if you'd eat bread and drink wine today, you'd first make a motzi, and then you make a gofer. But Shabbos, you can't do that. You have to make Kiddush first. So, shalo yira hapas boshto. In order that the bread shouldn't be insulted, shouldn't be embarrassed, that you're making a bracha on the wine before it, you cover the challah. Shalo yira hapas boshto. Now, I don't know. Maybe my wife bakes insensitive challahs. But I never, not a yeshiva, and not a mikveh. The closest mikveh was by car, half an hour away in Miami Beach. So one day, one of my prominent Balabatim, a wealthy man, came to me very upset. And he said, "Rabbi, I am really upset about something. I got to get it off my chest." I said, "Okay, what's the problem?" He said, "There is one thing that this community is missing that would make it a top-notch Torah community. And I'm really upset that it's not here." Now, I imagine right away that either he was talking about a yeshiva or a mikveh. And I was really excited, because as soon as he told me which one bothers him, I would tell him, "Well, you know, if it bothers you so much, then why don't you become the chairman of the committee to build a yeshiva or build a mikveh here?" So with bated breath, I said to him, "What is that one thing that our community is missing to make it a top-notch Torah community?" And he said, "A glatt kosher French restaurant." Now, after I regained consciousness and tried to figure out where we're putting the yeshiva in this French restaurant, I realized, what's the problem here? And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with a glatt kosher French restaurant. Okay, my expertise in French cuisine ends with French fries, but I'm sure that there's more to it. So, it's not the problem. The problem is, what does that have to do with being a top-notch Torah community? You tell me it'd be a top-notch French community, top-notch gourmet community. How am I supposed to adapt my life to what the mitzvahs teach, standards and values, not just do a bunch of things? And when you don't do that, then the mikdash itself becomes an avodah zarah and becomes shlichas damim. The Gemara says they used to have races up the kevesh, up the ramp of the mizbeach, to decide which kohen would be zocheh to do the avodah that day, to start. And one time, there were two kohanim, two young kohanim, who were neck and neck, and the one sees the other one's getting ahead, and he's going to do the avodah. "I want to do the avodah." So he does what any red-blooded kohen, I guess, can do to want to do the avodah, takes out a knife and stabs the other guy in the heart. The other guy falls off the ramp, falls off the kevesh, and he's dying. And his father, the father of the victim, comes over, and he pulls out the knife from his son's heart, and he says, "Don't worry, I got the knife out before he died. The knife is still tar. Didn't become tummy." Malame shetaras kalim yosher chashuvin nehem mishlichas dam. The father of the victim was more important to him that the knife was tar than that his son was murdered. That wasn't a mile. That means that the avoda, the whole Beis HaMikdash, became a place of shlichas damim, of avodah zarah. They turned the mikdash into avodah zarah. Instead of seeing what it means, what it's supposed to engender, what kind of lifestyle and values you're supposed to get from keeping those, they kept them in a chitzoniistic way, totally external. And then those things, that's what real shleimus and real achdus is. And everybody has their part in Klal Yisrael and in a home too. A home is an example, it's a model, it's a miniature world, miniature society. And just like in society, everybody has their role in that society that's called the home. Everybody has their role. Parents have their role between each other, husband to wife and wife to husband. Parents to children, children to parents. An extended family, grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins. It's a society. Everybody has their role to play. Nobody can do it all. Everybody has their specific part to contribute and what they benefit from the others. Even when it comes to Torah, no one can keep Tariq mitzvahs. Impossible. Not because it's too hard, it's impossible. Because certain mitzvahs are only for Kohanim. If you're not a Kohen, you don't have Tariq mitzvahs. So what do you tell me? Well, Kohanim have Tariq mitzvahs. Not true. Because certain mitzvahs are only for Yisrael. Pidyon Aben. A Kohen will never fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon Aben from the father's perspective. He's pasuk. So unless you're Yisrael, you don't have Tariq mitzvahs if you're a Kohen, because you're missing Pidyon Aben. So if you're a man, you have certain mitzvahs that no woman could ever do. But if you're a woman, you have certain mitzvahs that no man could ever do. At least in my lifetime, I hope that no man will ever bring a korban yoledes. Right? That's a mitzvah for a woman. So a man doesn't have that mitzvah. So unless you're a Kohen Levi, shelo shinu es malbusha, they didn't change their mode of dress. They wore Jewish clothing. They didn't wear Egyptian clothing. And now we're going out of Egypt, And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want you to take Egyptian clothing, I want you to wear it, put it on your kids. For what? What was the purpose of that? There are many different ideas. The Kliyokers has a nice idea, you want to look it up. But I'll tell you what I think, and I think that it's Korav La'emes. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to know that there was nothing intrinsically wrong with Egyptian clothing. V'haraya, you can wear it. I want you to go out in the desert, put it on your children. If it would be shatnez, how could you wear it? If it would be not tzanua, how could you wear it? Nothing wrong with it. It was tzanua, it wasn't shatnez, you could look in Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, and you wouldn't find anything wrong with Egyptian clothing. And yet, that 100% glatt kosher clothing, had you worn it the last 210 years in Egypt, you never would have gone out. Why? Is it mutter, is it asur? The answer is, intrinsically, there's nothing wrong with it. But had you worn it in Mitzrayim, you would have been wearing it to be like a goy. That's asur. Even if there's nothing intrinsically wrong. I'll give you an example. Two examples. When I was growing up, I was in high school, so the rage in the world were the Beatles. Not little six-legged varieties, but two-legged varieties. They were a band. And they started a fad in America, or all over the world, and who had long hair were hippies, or Nazirim. I was appalled. And here all these Yerushalmis were buying these decorations. Now, they had no idea what Bichlal Christmas decorations were. They never saw Christians. There's only Muslims around here. Except maybe in Beis Lechem, but who goes to Beis Lechem? So in Yerushalayim, these decorations were fine. I was expecting to go during Sukkot and find somebody's sukkah adorned with a little baby and some shepherds around or whatever, and tell me to look, I got some mishpacha, it's beautiful. But they have no hasaga. For them it's not chukas hagoyim, but if you have those same decorations in America, they're probably osur 100% because they're chukas hagoyim. It depends on the time and the place and what they represent, what the message is. And therefore, in one place, in one time, something can be 100% kosher. And there's nothing wrong with it intrinsically. But in a different time, in a different place, it means, it stands for something. And that makes it awesome. So it's very difficult to know what you can let in your house and what you can't let in your house. You can't just look in the Shulchan Aruch and see what's asur and what's mutter. You have to be sensitive to know, what do these things stand for? Why am I doing it? What do they represent? And it could be that something 100% kosher, but in a certain time and place, represent things that are 100% osur. That's what the Rebbe Moshe told us. Simlos Mitzrayim, you won't find in the Shulchan Aruch that they're osur. Because it could be they were 100% okay, and you can wear them in the Midbar. Put them on your kids. You have 10 people. One is enough. Somebody in the home has to do it for the sake of the home. Bedikas Chametz. Not everybody has to search Chametz in the house. One person has to search the home. The home has to be free of Chametz. And Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso, one Ner Chanukah, one candle, right, per home. That's the minimum. There's Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. But the main mitzvah is one candle per home. If you think about it, those mitzvahs represent everything I told you. What's the purpose of Ner Shabbos? Two purposes. One, to bring Kedushas, Kovet HaShabbos, Kedushas HaShabbos into the home. The light of Shabbos, that Pnimius. It's not just an external thing. There's an inner light to the Torah, an inner light to mitzvahs, an inner light to a human being. And we're not just bodies. It's not just a bunch of external things to do. That's Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos has another function, that people shouldn't trip over each other in the dark. Shalom Bayis. That everybody should be able to function and interact properly without tripping over each other, without being a stumbling block to somebody else. But you to contribute your role and benefit from other people's role and to work together, ba'achdus. So Ner Shabbos represents those two aspects of the home. The pnimius, the kedusha, the inner values, and the shalom bayis, the unity that the home has to create. Then there's the mezuzah. The mezuzah is on the door that separates between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid. So that they're in Yerushalayim. Shema and Vyohafta, which is Ibloshi. There's nowhere to run. So how do you protect yourself from those negative influences? You have to build a teva around yourself. You have to put yourself into a teva. What is a teva of our generation? Bate knesios, bate medrashos, seminaries. This is the teva. You've been in a teva. A very fine teva in Nesilos. Very fine teva. With very fine leaders, teachers. For an entire year. You've been in a teva where all those floodwaters have been, you've been protected. Not a drop has come in. Not a drop. Very, very insulated, protected. But you can't spend your whole life in a seminary. You can't even spend your whole life in a Beis Medrash or in a shul. At some point, you have to go out, at least temporarily. How do you leave the teva and not be drowned in those floodwaters? That's what the Medrash says. L'mishpichoseihem yotzu min ha-teva. If you create a family unit, you create a home where the same values and standards and kedusha of the Beis Medrash, of the seminary, of the shul, is your home values, then your home becomes a teva. And even if you have to leave the seminary, and you have to leave the Beis Medrash, and you have to leave the shul, but l'mishpichoseihem yotzu min ha-teva, you can leave the teva if your mishpacha is the same. Really, Klal Yisrael depend on you. Because just like in the Midbar, it was the women who always were in the right kavana, the right kivun. In next week's parsha, the women were in chote by chetam raglim, and by Korach, it was Korach's wife that caused him to do what he did, and Om ben Peles who saved her husband. Chochmas isha bonsa besa, Chazal said. The iveles v'yodeha tahersen. If you're an isha chachoma, you build your home. In the same way, a woman has the koach to destroy the home. Hakol toli b'isha. So you have a tremendous amount of responsibility. And what the future of Klal Yisrael is depends on the Jewish home. That's what it depends on. Nothing else. And when the Jewish home will be the way it is, then the Rabbanu Shem will build us habayis hagadol, the hakadosh. And b'schus nashim tzikonios, we were nigoyel in Mitzrayim, and b'schus nashim tzikonios will come the geula ha'asida from Herod.